Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
The first 100 days, the next 99 days.
All right, that's the President Joe Biden speaking to the nation about masking up. It is not a mandatory thing, except for when you're traveling on planes, trains, or anywhere interstate travel coming into the United States. You have to have a negative COVID test, and then you would also have to comply with whatever the quarantine rules are where you land and where you're headed. There's not a lot of airline travel, but just in case. Hey, everybody, it's round and round we go. Business as usual, right? Hope it's shaken well in your area, wherever you hail from, and I hope you're safe and sound. A lot of people aren't. 400,000 plus have now died from COVID. That's why it is the crisis that it is, and it's the thing that we are all tired of dealing with. And sadly, too many people have died from this thing. It's not fake news. It's not fake numbers. It's real numbers, because you can call what I think are the institutions where this is the data, peeps. This is the data. Pick whatever one you want, John Hopkins, wherever. And so we want this out the door. There is no question. I am quite certain that you are all tired of what I am tired of day after day after day, threatening the economy. So many people losing their jobs, so many people that feel like they're spinning in circles because they're trying to feed their family, and they're struggling to make those ends meet. So the job market couldn't be any worse. It may be one of the worst job markets now recently that we've seen because of how long this has gone down, how long this has gone on. Another 900,000 people filed new unemployment claims last week. That's an additional 423,000 people in 47 states filing new claims for pandemic unemployment assistance, which is for people with gigs and self-employment, which is a lot of people, more than you can imagine. And think of it, so nearly 16 million people claiming benefits as of January 2nd, the last week that we could measure that for now. So economists are cautioning about reading too deeply into the fluctuations of the statistics because of inflated numbers sometimes, that kind of stuff. What is the benchmark? But it's not good. I mean, it's 44 straight weeks that initial claims are higher than the worst week of the Great Recession. So President Biden is calling for a $1.9 trillion stimulus measure that would extend unemployment benefits, payments and benefits beyond March, give $1,400 worth of checks, provide hundreds of millions of dollars to small businesses as well as state and local governments. And this is what Trump was trying to get through at the tail end of his presidency. It didn't work. I think it's going to happen. I can't imagine that at this point, although there will be, I think there is going to be a tug of war still over what's in the bill and all of that. So if this goes through and happens, it might be closer to April when that's rolled out, or the tail end of March. Again, I don't have a vote on it. I'm not there on the House floor or in the Senate. But if you take the temperature of what's happening there, I have a feeling there it could still be in that back and forth kind of thing. But people are drowning in this. Neighbor to neighbor, et cetera. The great thing about living in America is, boy, do we not help each other. That is the goodness in the neighborhoods that weave through this country, no matter whether they're rural, urban, suburban, whatever it is, wherever you hail from. I've seen it, I love that. I love that people are still doing whatever they can to try to help one another. Thank goodness. So a day after becoming president, Joe Biden has those executive orders that are focused on the COVID relief and whether it's PPE, ramping up production, appoint people and for certain areas of the pandemic, that kind of thing. That was one of the big, big focuses of the very full first day, I'll say, in office, calling it a national strategy, a wartime undertaking, right? So this was part of what the inauguration speech, of course, was about. And then from the Oval Office, several times he said it, he said, this is a comprehensive, based on science, not politics, based on truth, not denial, COVID response, a strategy. And he said, while the vaccine provides so much hope, the rollout has been a failure thus far. So things are going to continue to get worse before they get better. And he painted a grim picture, but he said, realistically, the novel coronavirus will probably top 500,000 people by next month. But they're going to be aggressive, safe, and put out there that it's effective to get vaccinated, and that's why you want to get vaccinated. He vowed to deliver 100 million shots in his first 100 days in office, and says it's an operational challenge. It is. It's logistics. I said this in the very beginning, that this was the problem that the Trump administration was going to have because of the disorganization period of how do you logistically, in a drop in the very beginning, how do you direct all this? How do you set up these VAC centers? How do you get people to where they need to be? How do you get the reservations? Nobody's on the phone. Older people are confused. They can't get on the computer or where. Yeah, there's a lot of elements to this that are very difficult. There's people that are driving to other states to get vaccines when they know they're available. I'm not kidding. There is a thing that I heard today about people flying to Florida which I thought there was difficult to get in some places, but where they knew they had some potential to get the vaccine. And remember, you have to get a second one, too, so then obviously they would be going back there. The president said he directed FEMA to create a COVID-19 liaison for each state to maximize that coordination. That's, again, nightmarish, the logistical hell that it is, and to ensure the smooth vaccine distribution, to start to reimburse states 100% for the use of National Guards to help with the relief. Well, that's good, because that's what's happening to states. They're drowning in red tape and no green. They need the cash back so that they can do that. And then the other push was mask up, just urging Americans to mask up and partake in the 100-day mask challenge. Not saying you have to or you're pulled off the street, but saying it's a mask challenge. And that if everybody wore a mask from now until April, we'd save 50,000 lives. Although one of the executive actions, like I said, extends to the requirement of mask wearing to planes, trains, and buses. Numbers coming up on the flip side. We can count.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
There's where we start with We Can Count. It's about numbers. It's very strange. It looks thing out of a movie, but eye-popping, I guess, is the way I would describe it. It's a weird space-age design, 688 feet tall. That's what this skyscraper is. When you think of skyscrapers, and it used to be you think of Chicago, or you think of New York, and it's just, you know, where you see some of the biggest skyscrapers. But this is a New York skyscraper that has a sci-fi style to it. It looks like as somebody described in one of the overseas newspapers. Looks like Play-Doh. It's twisted tube and coiled inside kind of this towering frame, and it was dreamed up by a Turkish architecture firm, and it's been described as a transparent ghostly stance in the city's skyline. What? It looks like Play-Doh. Now, I know that you have to look this up because all you have to do is put in Play-Doh architecture, 668 feet tall, New York skyline, and you'll see it. At night, it kind of blends in a little bit better, but during the day, it looks odd. It's I guess it's sort of a concept of gravity defying, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's very eye catching. I mean, that again, that's the best way to say it, that it will catch your eye. I would have to mention this, that the Mega Millions jackpot is near $1 billion. The odds, oh, there's that hiccup again, the odds that I get rid of the hiccups are better than you winning this lottery, but the odds of hitting it are not good. So it's really strange because now it's the third largest prize in lotto history if it's claimed at this amount. So we'll see if it is or not. You know, somebody said, and I'm sure I've said this on the show, I have said it, somebody has to win. So someone's going to win. And it doesn't mean it's going to be you. But if you're only plunking down a couple of dollars, then what's the difference? But the odds, the way that they referred to it, and I thought this was brilliant, is if you stood on the corner of a football field and you started to lay out dollar bills until you placed 302,000 of them, 575, you know, and 350, that would take up 585 football fields, and that's your odds. You know what? Somebody's dousing us with their negative attitude with this big jackpot, $970 million. People can dream, can't they? All right, this is crazy. Police found a stolen copy of Leonardo da Vinci art. You know, there's always these stories about fakes and real and copies, but it's Italian police have recovered a 500-year-old copy of a 16th-century painting of Jesus that was stolen from a Naples church during the pandemic without priests even realizing it was gone. Salvador Mundi painting. The discovery was made when Naples police were working on an operation, a bigger operation, that found the painting hidden in an apartment. And they said that they detained the apartment owner, and he had a less than credible explanation for how he had casually bought it at the market. Yeah, right. The painting is a copy of the Salvador Mundi, Savior of the World by Leonardo, that sold for a record $450 million at a Christie auction in 2017. So, wow. It was pretty wild to actually see that copy. Some of the copies look so incredibly good that I don't know how. And that's why they have art authenticators. But I don't know how they do it. All right, for those of you who are furious at social networks for booting the former president off of Twitter and Facebook, etc., there is a rival to Facebook called MeWe. They've gained 2.5 million members in a week, and they say that their people are going there because of the privacy thing. They currently have 16 million members, and they have an ad-free platform, that's what it is, and their idea is to compete against traditional social media models that use data collection for targeted ads. MeWe was launched by Mark Weinstein in 2016, and they also vouch that they don't censor their users for behavior that might violate policies of other networks, including Facebook and Twitter. Over 50% of MeWe users are located in North America, 24% in Asia, 24% in Europe, 24%, and 2% in Australia. But obviously, Parler and MeWe saw some momentum in November around the election, using the preservation of free speech is one of the main reasons for people joining it. So DuckDuckGo also saw an average number of daily searches increase by 62% because they're a search engine and they're privacy focused. So a lot of people go there, and that it'll be interesting to see what happens with those platforms if they just continue to get bigger and bigger because people are tired of Facebook or Twitter or whatever form of media that they use, you know. Let's move to something else, numbers wise, and an interesting story about National Hugging Day. You knew there was a National Hugging Day, right? Yes, there is a National Hugging Day. We can't hug, right? Because we have to do all these other things like social distance. Every store I go into now, I feel like an actor because you have to stand on your marks, right? So you go to the grocery store, there's marks. You go to mail a package, there's marks. You go to the doctor's, there's marks. You go to the dentist, there's marks. Everywhere. Stand on that line, then you're on that line, then you're in that line behind. But anyway, as we mark the one-year anniversary since the first coronavirus case, it is a reminder of people not hugging. So on National Hugging Day, which was Thursday, they came up with some alternatives of what you could do instead of hug. You could go and cuddle in a weighted blanket. Have you ever seen those weighted blankets? They're heavier than usual blankets, and they've been pretty popular in the last couple of years because it does mimic the feeling of a hug or being held or whatever. And supposedly, if you've got any kind of mental illness issues or you just have anxiety or whatever, it's supposed to be good for that. So the great big suggestion was that would be one way that you could do it. And this way I like the best. Pets. Yeah. I mean, you can't even, now it's even hard to adopt dogs or cats in some places. If you have a pet, that can help you if there's like loneliness or isolation. To me, on National Hugging Day, you can hug your pet. I have an awesome puppy named Guinness. He is a manly man dog. He is. He's like a bull in the china shop, but he is a hugger. He's a hugger, hugger, hugger. And so that was my solution, right? For National Hug Day, since you can't hug, that was the thing to do. All right. Also, numbers wise, how about this one? When we look at traveling and we look at cruises, Saga Cruises, it's the first line to require COVID-19 vaccine. So when the over 50 cruise line resume sailing, they're going to do it, they say, on May 4th. Passengers will need to have received a vaccine and have undergone testing before they embark on their journey. I have a feeling that a lot of the travel industry is going to go in that direction, but especially with cruises because it's such a confined space, even if it's a large one. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is now the head of President Biden's coronavirus response team. He says he hopes the majority of Americans are vaccinated by this fall.
The concern I have, and something we're working on, is getting people who have vaccine hesitancy who don't want to get vaccinated, because many people are skeptical about that. So we really need to do a lot of good outreach for that.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is proposing that the Senate should begin the impeachment trial of former President Trump in mid-February. In a statement, he said he sent his proposal to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and he asked if the impeachment article could be sent to the Senate on January 28th, and that the former president be given 2 weeks to prepare. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham said the Trump legal team does support that timeline. This is USA Radio News. The Senate could be confirming the new Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Friday. With more, here's USA's Lance Pry.
The U.S. Senate Finance Committee scheduled a meeting for Friday to consider the nomination of Janet Yellen for Treasury Secretary, according to a congressional source. If this does come to pass, the possibility that she could be confirmed by the full Senate late Friday is a strong possibility. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
President Joe Biden has ordered a 60-day moratorium on drilling on federal lands. His administration is reviewing dozens of actions taken by former President Trump in hopes of reversing orders that the president says harm the environment or endanger public health. He says he wants to reduce emissions from cars, trucks, and SUVs. Also, oil and gas companies are being evaluated in different ways, from how the companies are extracting resources from the ground to the safety of the pipelines that are being used. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Wow, remember the Haiti earthquake? I was so horrified by what I saw. I cannot wait to introduce you to our next guest. Jean Gerard Rowe joins us, and he's written a book that will raise the hair on the back of your neck. I'm serious. It's called When the 7.0 Magnitude Earthquake Hit Haiti, My Personal Experiences. Jean, thanks for jumping on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about your personal experiences traveling from Rhode Island through Boston and all the way through Miami, et cetera, then to Haiti before this happened. And then also the premonition that you had, really the vision that you had for what was going to happen. But first of all, talk about what happened on that day and why you were going to Haiti.
Well, the book is not very long. I tried to cut things short, but the story is a long story. I'm trying to minimize it the most that I can. Is that all right?
Sure. Yeah.
What happened is, like, 2 years in advance, the reason why I was going to Haiti that day is because I work with the secretary. We call her Mother Odile. God had given her many visions. She also worked, like 25 years with her husband in Haiti. But she was here in Rhode Island. And in the new age, I was training her how to use a computer because she was not familiar with those things. In that process, I give her an office within my building at 270 75 Reservoir Avenue, where our church was at the time, and I put her a couple of computers in the office for her, everything she needed. She didn't have to pay rent or nothing, and she just come in when she wants. I give her a key because I saw her heart, and I love Haiti. And every time somebody is doing something for the benefit of Haiti, I just kind of, you know, contribute to see it happen. That's a long version. Anyway, during those 2 years, I wrote letters and she put them together, organized them after she learned how to use computers. And we sent out like, I would say at least 60 to 100 letters to all head of state. United States of America, Obama, Michelle, you name it, Mr. Clinton, his wife, the actual president at the time, warning everyone, even the UN. And we have receipt, okay, return receipt stamps that they received those letters. And we keep all of those things in files. And of all those people, we say to them, Haiti need to have 3 days of prayer and fasting where all the people, along with the government, everybody mixed up together at the national park to pray for forgiveness. And just like it says in Second Chronicles 7, verse, all the bishop, everybody knows the verses. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked way and humble themselves and so forth, I'll heal their nation. That's where the idea came from. And guess what? They received the letters. Almost no one said nothing except they received it. They didn't agree to contribute. They didn't encourage. Well, the prime minister in Haiti sent a letter saying she encouraged it, she would support it, and also received a letter from Canada saying only Canada at the time told me and my secretary that if I needed funds to get that done, they were willing to provide the expenses for travel, food, whatever I needed. But so now I went to Haiti to investigate so that I could respond to Canada the type of help that we needed. And 2 days later, boom.
The earthquake. Yeah.
It took too long.
Wow, it took too long to make that happen. So you're there, the earthquake happens, and just kind of condense it for us, but you told me this off the air. What was it like? You were in a house when the earthquake hit. What was it like when that happened?
When that happened was a very traumatic situation. That day, I woke up very early, and I didn't sleep my entire 7 or 8 hours sleep, because I had to preach early at the Church of God in Rue des Saints and Pastor Elisee. And I did the first service, the fasting prayer. That was a Tuesday in the 5 o'clock. I preached, and then the service finished. And then they say, well, it was so good, we want you to return at 10 o'clock. So I returned at 10 o'clock, preach again. And about 10 minutes, I told the people, today, something is going to happen. I don't know what it is, but get ready, be careful, watch out, since you've been praying, and I haven't closed my mouth within 30 seconds of saying that. There was an explosion at the Church of God College, right?
Wow.
in the yard where I was preaching.
Wow.
I told them something was going to happen today, and it's close, it's near, I don't know whether 10... About 30 seconds later, something blew up under the college chapel. There were two people running on fire.
Oh.
Literally, fire. It's something in the gasoline or the oil in the kitchen caught in their clothes. I watched them through the window of the church running with the flame. And they dropped to the ground, and we called the fire department. They came quickly. That was the first. That was another miracle. The fire department of Haiti stood up in less than 5 minutes. The people were on the ground. They put dirt on them and water, and they were able to salvage them. They didn't die.
Wow. Wow. So that happens, and you see these horrific things that many people listening to us remember, seeing the clips, seeing the people pleading for help and how awful it is. And now things have lifted, and you lifted people up because you eventually got that service after all that destruction, didn't you?
Yes. When after the earthquake happened, so that wasn't the earthquake yet. That was just the precursor of the earthquake, so that the people see God loves the Church of God and all the people, not just the Church of God, all his people. But that college, that's where I went. I did my high school and my young age, okay? And God sent me to be the preacher on that day when he's going to save the student, all the students in that school. You know why? Because of that explosion, they closed the school for the rest of the day and sent everybody home. Wow. And then when the earthquake came at 5, the whole building toppled face down on the ground, 3 stories.
Wow.
Everyone would have died, including where I used to sit on the second floor at Siloe, the Christian. And that day, God used a boy that was in that church 15 years or 15, 20 years before to warn them and to save the church and the students, almost everybody, because of that first explosion. And then as I walk outside, everybody was excited. The siren was going off. And one woman was passing by with a pannier, a basket on her head. And she said, look at them. They call themselves Church of God. She said that in Creole. Look at them. Look at that explosion. Look at people on fire. What kind of Church of God is that?
Wow.
I heard that. The Lord said, speak to her. So I walk alongside of her. I didn't scream, because sometimes I scream a little bit. But that day, I said, lady, you know what happened? This is to save all the people, okay? Because of what happened, there's going to be biggest thing happening later on. Because of that, the church is going to be closed, even though not the whole church was, but there's some choir practicing because they were getting ready for the ladies' conference that I was going to while I was there. I was taking the same occasion to go to the same conference. Along, there were other big shots like Dr. Noel, Dr. Ramsey of the Church of God, and many other Church of God traveling.
Mm.
The Church of God, we're a big family.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, again, I want to say the book is When the 7.0 Magnitude Earthquake Hit Haiti, My Personal Experiences, and you lift us up as you get toward the end of the book. And we only have like a minute or so left, but just briefly, Gene, what do you want people to know when they pick up this book? What do you want them to take away from that?
Okay. First of all, I want people, when they read this book, to not be thinking the way they usually think, okay? Because you cannot read this book and not have your mind change about a lot of things. Because it changed me, okay? It
uh-huh.
changed me in a lot. And even now, I still get emotional when I get to a certain point in the book because people I love died in that book. I cannot explain everything. God saved me with his own hand. In that book. When the earthquake threw me in the air, I said, God, I'm not dying today inside that big concrete shower room. And I felt a hand under my back, lowered me 3 times into the bathtub, and held me there. I am God. I do not change. I am the same yesterday. All those who call on me, I shall answer them as long as they call in faith. Hey! Hallelujah. Yes, God saved my life. He will save your life. You read this book. You put, there are some advice. God even gave me the name of a man he's going to establish as the leader of Haiti. And he says there's going to be no more election in Haiti. It's all in the book.
And so that's the reason why, again, pick it up and you'll read more about this story and then what happens afterward. Gene, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Well, I really appreciate that.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
In our virtual green room, Brenda Danielson, she's the author of a book called Natasha and the Elementals. Now, this is book one, so it's a series, because, of course, what happens is you get so hooked into this that you desperately want more, and we're excited to have her on the show. So thank you so much for coming on, Brenda.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the character, and I said to you off the air that I had this thing about, since I was a kid, about liking stories about vampires and hearing about vampires and being scared, and the more descriptive and the more the storytelling was good and rich, it kind of pulled me in. And your story is very much like this, but your vampire is a little bit different too. So the first question, I guess, is did you have a fascination with vampires, or what led you to write this genre of book?
Oh, definitely I have a fascination with vampires. Anytime, no matter what, if I'm watching a movie, TV, they have a search option that's like vampires. So I do love the whole lore. I love the whole thing, you know, the passion involved with vampires and all that kind of stuff. You know how it is. I'm a girl.
I gotcha. So you have that fascination, and then you decide, well, I'm going to write a story. And tell us about Natasha, and she's your lead character, of course, and what she does, what her life is, because she's actually She's actually a homicide detective. How is that?
Well, she, let's see. She tells her mother is, I don't want to let release parts of the story too much, but her mother and father are, had to abandon her. So her adopted father was a police detective. And so, you know, she followed in his footsteps. And she was a police officer, and she eventually got promoted to detective after she was turned. And she kind of got grandfathered in because they don't normally allow supernaturals. But she was grandfathered in, so she was able to remain a detective while she was still a vampire.
Ah, and she isn't a normal vampire. Obviously, that part of it's not normal, etc. But there is something very different about her and this book. So tell us a little bit. You're not giving it away, but tell us a little bit about this particular story, because this is just the first book, and you're taking us in other directions too. But tell us what people can expect if they read Natasha and the Elementals.
Well, the first thing they can expect is it's not a normal vampire story. It's not your typical, a lot, you know, it's just not. I mean, the first thing that I say is if vampires and witches and werewolves and shifters and all that stuff were as powerful as they say they are, they would rule the world. So the first thing I wanted to do was humanize them. So I took their whole, magical beings down a notch and made it a little more realistic where you could actually envision it happening in real life.
Ah, and so for you in creating this narrative and this character and fleshing all this out, do you draw from other people and their personalities and people that you run into in your life?
Actually, yeah. I mean, I have kind of created Natasha a little bit from a collective of some personal experiences of mine and obviously reading, you know, other vampire books, stuff like that. Like, I've kind of created the whole thing, and then I just decided one day, you know, I just need to put this on paper. I need to take that next step.
I like that. I need to take that next step. So that's a great place to take this. In taking the next step, you do this, you release the first book, you know it's going to be a series. What is that feeling like?
Well, when I published it and I got my books, I got my books in the mail and a couple people are reading my book, and the first feeling of accomplishment is when, you know, you get that first review that says, you know, the book was great. It kept them interested, and they can't wait for book two. So that's when it really, really hit me. I'm like, this is really happening. And then, of course, being invited on your show was a really big thing. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
And you should be excited, and it's so, so well written. And the fun thing is that, you know, we all have different things that we do in life, and then you escape and you come up with these stories. Tell everybody what you do for a living.
I am actually a truck driver. I drive 18-wheeler. Yeah.
Yeah, and for people who have listened to this show, you know that I say I'm the granddaughter of a trucker, and a lot of people would call in and use their air horn, and it would be so funny. We'd have so much fun talking about the road. So for you, you obviously, I think, you have time to think about these stories when you're on the road. Is that what part of what happens?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, I mean, after I listened to audiobooks so many times, it's like, you know, I would do this, and I would do this, and I would do that, and then I'm just like, again, I need to take the next step. So I just started making notes on things that I would do with my characters, and started creating the world of my books and stuff like that, and I would use, obviously, I'm driving, so I'm not writing it down. I use voice text a lot and build to the notes app in my phone. And then when I would stop or get home, I would start putting things together into a story.
Yeah, how fun is that? So you're there, you're thinking about it, you've got time to think about it, then you end up, you know, flushing that out and writing that. And as I said, this is a series. What do you hope people take away from Natasha and the Elementals?
What do I hope they take away?
And reading it. Getting, you know, obviously you hope they enjoy the book, but do you hope they have, you know, take away something else about life or how she looks at life?
Well, there are some, the story, there are some things that happened to her, and a couple things you can take away from the book is no matter where your foundation came from, you can always evolve into something better. You can always do something better with your life, and no matter what situation you're in and stuff like that. But I would think the main thing that I would like people to take away from this book is the availability to escape into this world and really see and feel the actual storyline.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? When you read a book and it really grabs you, that's exactly what happens. And I think for you wouldn't have written or become, you wouldn't become a writer and have this passion to want to do this if you in your life haven't read things that just grabbed you.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's something about reading a good book, and especially now we find that certainly more than ever. And I just have one last very important question. Do you sleep with garlic around your neck, or do you do any of that?
No, because I'd be, come on, come see me. I've got some questions.
That's funny. Exactly. I'd be right there with you. I love it. So pick up the book. It's really, really, really good. Natasha and the Elementals. It's just book one. You will definitely be riveted by this. Brendan, thanks so much, and good luck with the story the rest of the way.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, what a fun personality Brenda has, and it is true. It's interesting that her character is a vampire, and as we talked about, is a homicide detective, and of all places in Washington, D.C., can you imagine? And so this is one in a series, and it is something about the whole vampire culture, I think, that pulls some of us in, and why it is, I don't know. I think there's just something, there is something about, like she mentioned, shapeshifters and what your mind thinks of, you know, et cetera. But this book is one of those books that this is a vampire with heart. And there is something about, there's something about her life and the way that she lives, again, and being a detective and being on patrol. And how did she get turned? You know, the first thing is about vampires is how do they get turned into vampires? So pick it up because it is one of the books that I got lost in, and it's very, very, very well done. And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.